We'll be back right after this with Congressman Ken Buck. All right, welcome back to the Jeff Crank Show. My good friend, he's a good friend and a very good congressman. Ken Buck joins us right now. He is the author of the book, Drain the Swamp, How Washington Corruption is Worse Than You Think. Congressman Ken Buck, thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm doing really good. Thank you. I want to talk about the book first, but I also have a lot of questions about health care and other things I wanted to get to. But let's talk about your book. First of all, you can buy the book anywhere books are sold, I would assume, right?
Yes. Yep. It's at Barnes & Noble, tattered cover. It's online on Amazon. Yes.
Okay. So if folks go out and buy this book, what are they going to learn?
Well, I think people look at Washington, D.C., look at Congress, and know something's wrong. What this book does is it tells exactly what's wrong, how it's wrong, and what we can do about it. We have a pay-to-play system where you've got to pay a certain amount of money to the National Republican Congressional Committee. The Democrats have the same system, and in order to be on an A committee or to be a chairman of an A committee, $475,000 to be a member, $1.2 million to be a chair. People don't know about that pay-to-play system, but they know something is corrupt in D.C. They know something is wrong. So it gives specific examples like that of why we spend too much money, of how we need to discipline ourselves.
So what can you mentioned, what can people do about it? What can the average citizen do about it?
Well, I think what the average citizen can do is to make sure that they petition their congressman and make sure that their congressman knows that they are aware of what's going on and they expect their congressman to fix it. And if enough pressure is exerted from the outside, I think we'll have ethics laws that prevent the pay-to-play system. I think we'll have a balanced budget amendment that forces Congress to live within its means. I think we'll have term limits that, and not unreasonably short term limits, but term limits that allow members of Congress to serve a decent period of time, but get out of there and not become part of the swamp and a bigger part of the problem.
Well, you know, and I think we're seeing the frustration this last week with the failure of a bill in the Senate. Back during the week of January 20th, when the new president was sworn in, I said that week that Congress ought to put up a bill in the first 2 to 3 days that repeals Obamacare, the one that that Congress voted on, 17 times and sent to President Obama. And they didn't do it. They played this game of, well, we got to find the replacement. We got to do all of that. I know you've been a fan of getting Obamacare repealed and have called for that very same thing. Why did they not do it that way?
You know, the problem is the rules of the Senate. And what they tried to do is they tried to, through budget reconciliation, which is a mechanism where the House and the Senate try to reconcile different numbers on the budget, and it only requires a 50 vote margin or a 51 vote margin in the Senate. What they tried to do is use that process to get something passed. So we had to pass a budget in the House, then we had to work in the House. And the problem in the House, the reason it took so long in the House was they kept bringing proposals over to the Senate parliamentarian to get permission to do it. A completely messed up system. The American public has no faith, on the right or the left, has no faith that we're doing the right thing when all of the backdoor process is going on. So I agree with you. I think the best path then and now is to repeal Obamacare, give yourself a year and a half, 2 years, a year to fix it, a year to sit down with the American people, find out what the American people want in a replacement, sit down with Democrats, hammer something out, and then give the marketplace a year to adjust to the new plan.
You know, I look at this failure to get a repeal of Obamacare through, and I guess I would ask this question. I mean, you see Speaker Ryan, you see some of the leadership there. I mean, do they not understand that, like, okay, so now there's this tax cut package that the president's proposing. If we don't get that, How in the world does a Republican Party hold on to any majority? Why wouldn't the American people just throw them out? I mean, do they see that, the pressure that's building?
It is an existential threat in my mind. I think that we have gone beyond the point of no return when we are looking at very straightforward proposals that we said we would enact if we won. And I think that the American public has every right to believe that the Republican Party cannot be a governing party. And to me, Jeff, the problem is we don't have the Ronald Reagan, and I'm not talking about President Trump, I'm talking about a leader within the party somewhere. It could be in House leadership. It doesn't have to be the Speaker. It could be in Senate leadership. It could be in the White House. It could be outside the White House. Somebody that is willing to say, this is the Republican vision. Republicans do great when we are fighting for abolition in the times of Abraham Lincoln, fighting against communism in the times of Ronald Reagan. We right now are struggling to be anything other than Democrat-like. And in many Republicans believe the only way to win an election is to act like Democrats, to believe that a government-controlled health care plan is really the best alternative we can have in America, and therefore we just have to find a better way to do government-run health care than the Democrats do.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you mentioned not having that leadership. You know, Newt Gingrich with the Contract with America provided that right. leadership. You know, whether right. those things passed or not, he said, we'll vote on term limits. And so we put it out there. It term limits failed, but it didn't fail without a cost to the people that voted against it. And that's, you know, we're not presenting that. It just seems like there's no leadership in Congress right now. And I think the American people are frustrated.
They're obviously frustrated, and they have every right to be frustrated. We know what the problems are. We have got to find a way to make Social Security solvent. We've got to find a way to make Medicare solvent. Those are the drivers of the debt and deficit at this point in time. We've got to find a way to plus up the military, make the military stronger, but at the same time make it a lot more efficient than it is right now. We just can't keep throwing money at the military and saying that's really what's in the best interest of America. It's got to be a stronger military, and we've got to invest in future technologies, but we've got to do it in a smarter way than we're doing it right now. So we know what the problems are. We can't get something to the floor. We can't get a consensus in the House that among one party or both parties that we need to deal with those issues.
All right. So the book is Drain the Swamp, How Washington Corruption is Worse Than You Think. It was written by Congressman Ken Buck, a Republican of Colorado and a good guy. And one of the members of Congress that, listen, you can blame a lot of people, but it's awfully hard to blame Ken Buck. I mean, I think Ken Buck is there to do the right thing and to help save our country. He's in this for the same reason that you and I are in this fight. But let me ask this question. When you talk about this corruption that goes on in Washington, I think a lot of the people look at the health care and repeal of Obamacare that we didn't just repeal it. We had to go, you know, all the membership or the leadership of the Congress had to go talk to all the health care lobbyists and the executives and the folks that gave them money and all that. Is that some of the corruption you're talking about?
Absolutely. The special interests in Washington, D.C. control Congress and frankly, most of the time control the executive branch. The idea that there is oversight in Congress is just nonsense. One third of the federal budget is spent on unauthorized programs. The reason there isn't oversight is because if we looked, we'd find things that were just embarrassing. And we don't want to go through that process and take tough votes. The idea that these special interest groups that spend hundreds of millions of dollars on politics and politicians aren't in control is nonsense. Also, there's so much pressure that is exerted by the special interest groups that write much of the legislation. I mean, I find out what's going on in bills that are put on the floor after the lobbyists find out what's going on, and that process is broken.
Yeah, that process is really broken. Let me take a quick break, Congressman. Can you stay with us for a little bit longer?
Absolutely.
All right, great. The book Drain the Swamp, How Washington Corruption is Worse Than You Think, written by my friend Ken Buck. You need to get this book. It's a great book, and it talks about the corruption, what you can do to stop it in Washington, D.C. We'll be right back.
AM 740 and KVOR.com. More stimulating talk. This is Saturday Morning with Jeff Crank on AM 740 and KVOR.com.
Welcome back. My guest is Congressman Ken Buck, the author of Drain the Swamp, How Washington Corruption is Worse Than You Think. And we're talking about Congress and their failure to get a repeal of Obamacare through the House and the Senate. All of the marbles are now before us, I think, on this tax reform issue. And let me ask about that. Let me ask you about tax reform, Congressman. Do we see this getting through? I mean, seems to me pretty dire if it doesn't.
I think it is dire if it doesn't. A couple of months ago, I would have said absolutely it's going to get through. Again, we're trying to use budget reconciliation. This next budget we'll probably vote on this coming week to get it through, because the Democrats will prohibit it from getting through the Senate. The majority leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, is not going to force the Democrats to filibuster the bill, which is a major problem. But now I have no idea whether it gets through. Obviously, I think that the way Republicans get reelected in 2018, 2020 is if the economy is growing at a faster rate than it was before. If good, high-paying jobs are being created, if people are being put back to work, and we see the kind of economy that we're used to in this country, and I just don't know whether that is going to happen, whether the tax reform is going to happen. I think tax reform is necessary for us to see that kind of economic growth.
So, I think a lot of people are frustrated by, you know, and maybe it's the standard of the contract with America or whatever. Why didn't we move all kinds of stuff through Congress? I think many Americans feel like, you know, nothing's been done. There's nothing happening there. There really are some things happening, but you make the case. Is Congress and the House of Representatives working right now? And have they been doing a good job under the Trump administration at passing legislation or not?
Well, let me start with the Senate. Neil Gorsuch is now on the Supreme Court.
Yes.
So give the Senate credit for moving that through. We have probably the most conservative cabinet that we've had since Ronald Reagan. So, again, give the Senate credit for moving that through. So I think there are a number of things happening on the confirmation side in the Senate. The House has passed 258 bills. Many of those are bipartisan bills. Sent them to the Senate. The Senate has passed a lot of that legislation, or some of that legislation, I should say. We have rolled back 16 of the Obama-era regulations that were excessive and really caused harm to our economy and to American small business. The president has signed those, so there are good things happening. One of the strategies that the Democrats have employed is to talk about Russia ad nauseum, and I do mean nauseum. And right. I think that the idea that nothing's getting done in Congress is in part a product of the messaging that is overwhelming the other news that would be covered, and so. We passed Kate's Law in the House, a significant piece of legislation that puts additional penalties on illegal immigrants who come into this country, commit a crime, and are deported. Every time they come back, they're looking at another 5 years in federal prison just for coming back, not for committing another crime, but just for coming back. And that law was just ignored by the media. And most Americans don't even know that it was passed.
Yeah, and I think that's right. We talked a little bit about the House passing Kate's Law. Of course, it's not made it through the Senate. The president would sign it if it did. But I understand the frustration of the American people, but I also understand the side that particularly in the House, you are moving some good legislation through. It's a little bit frustrating. Let me ask on the Russia issue. You alluded to it. I've talked about it here. I think it is just the grand diversion of the left. And when I say the left, it's the Democrats and it's the media who doesn't like Donald Trump. There's not been a shred of evidence that there is collusion, but we're talking about Russia constantly. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's right. I was a prosecutor, as you know, Jeff, for 25 years. Right. And I go to the town hall meetings and people keep bringing up Russia. To me, it is the equivalent of the far right conspiracy theory about President Obama's birth certificate.
Right.
I think it has no substance. I think it diverts attention from the real issues that we need to address. And we are going to regret in 10, 15 years when we go off the fiscal cliff, when we can't afford to do the things that we're doing right now. We can't borrow money to keep our government going in this artificial way. We're going to regret the fact that we didn't spend time and focus as a country on the important issues and problems that we have.
Yeah, and I have to ask this question because I think you'd actually make a really, really great attorney general. So it was quoted that Cynthia Kaufman may run for governor, and you suggested that if she did run for governor, that you would run for you would likely run for attorney general. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm not likely to run for attorney general. I think it's really important that Cynthia not feel any pressure from anybody and make the decision that she's the most comfortable with. And I think it's a matter of respect not to talk, not for me not to speculate about what I would do when she hasn't made an announcement. So I have said that I think it's a great job and that I would be interested in it if it was open. I have not talked about the likelihood of running for it. I think there's a lot, as we've been talking about for the last few minutes, a lot of unfinished business in the United States House. It's a great honor to be in the House, and I don't want anyone to think that I'm not really feeling honored and blessed to have the job that I have.
Right. No, and I understand that, and I just thought I'd ask. I'd throw it out there because, you know, I had to. Right, Ken? I mean, it was in the news. It was in the Denver Post, and everything in the Denver Post is true, isn't it?
No.
Okay. Thanks for breaking that to us, too. So far, what we've learned with you, Ken, is that there's corruption in Washington, D.C., and not everything in the Denver Post is true. This has been groundbreaking stuff.
Two definite takeaways, Jeff.
Two definite takeaways. Well, listen, the book is Drain the Swamp, How Washington Corruption is Worse Than You Think. And it's written by Ken Buck, who I think the fact that you wrote this, and there's a great quote, by the way, in The Hill. I'm sure you've said this many times, but you said, "I didn't go to Washington, D.C. with a lot of friends, and I won't leave with a lot of friends." And I'm sure that's true because you wrote this book, right?
Well, it's just, you know, the reason to go to D.C. is to work on problems and to make change. And when people say, "Oh, Ken, you know, aren't people going to be offended because you wrote this book?" Who cares? I don't care if I offend people. I care right. if we solve problems.
Right. We have a country to save, right?
Absolutely. And it's more serious than I thought it was before I got there. And it's getting more serious every year. And so we really do. It's not just a trite saying. This is a serious situation. Jeff, this year, we don't have a major war. We don't have a major economic recession going on. We're going to spend $700 billion more than we have just this year.
It's amazing.
Under Republican president, Republican House, Republican Senate.
Yeah, it's incredible. Ken, thanks for joining us. Congressman Ken Buck, I appreciate it. And thanks for all the great work you're doing. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, you got it. Drain the Swamp, How Washington Corruption is Worse Than You Think. You can go get it. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of those places, you can go get that. Well, listen, our time is up.